June 4th meeting of the Rancho Santa Margarita Planning Commission. I will go ahead and call this meeting to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Sneeders, would you do us the honor of leading us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Chair Camulia?
Present.
Vice Chair Nelson?
Present.
Commissioner Bastian?
Present.
Commissioner Persiani?
Present.
Commissioner Sneeders?
Present.
We will move now to item one of the agenda, presentations and proclamations. Do we have any?
We have none this evening.
All right. We'll move to item two, schedule of future events.
Thank you, Chair Camulia. We have lots to announce for the upcoming month and summer season. First, we will be celebrating Flag Day on Saturday, June 14th from 7:30 to 8:30 in the Civic Plaza. Next, we will be holding the Fire Safety and Preparedness Community Meeting. That will be on June 25th from 4 to 6:30 in the Bell Tower. On Sunday, June 29th, we will have a celebration of community celebrating the 25th anniversary of the city. That will be a two-band concert with some other community events. And then that will be followed by the summer concert series starting on July 6th on Sundays through August 10th. The band lineup is shown here in your agenda and also available online. And finally, City Hall will be closed in honor of Independence Day on Friday, July 4th. Thank you.
Thank you. We will move to item three, public comment. This is the time to address the Planning Commission on any matter not listed on this agenda that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Do we have any public comments? No comments. With that, we will move right along to item four, the minutes, the regular minutes of the April 2nd meeting. I'll allow the commission to review those minutes and entertain a motion when you're ready.
I motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The item carries. We will now move to item five, public hearing items. Item 5.1, adopt the City of Rancho Santa Margarita Local Hazard Mitigation Plan and General Plan Amendment 25-002 to update the safety element. Ms. Starks? By the way, your hair is looking amazing.
Good evening, Chair Camulia, Planning Commission. We are fortunate tonight to have our consultant, Starla Barker from Genova Planning Group, and she'll be presenting this item this evening.
Good evening, Chair, Vice Chair, Planning Commission. I'm Starla Barker. Pleasure to be here again with you. You might recall I was here back in November, I think it was. I'm really excited to talk to you about kind of where we're at with the hazard mitigation plan since our last meeting. So just kind of to reiterate and for people's benefit, what is a hazard mitigation plan? We'll briefly go over that. Why is the city in the process of updating it? The review process, a general plan safety element amendment that comes into play, and we'll talk about that a little bit, and then the next steps. So just a quick reminder, the hazard mitigation plan or local hazard mitigation plan, LHMP, it is specific to the city of Rancho Santa Margarita. It looks at your natural and human-induced hazards, the likelihood of those potentially occurring, and then what are the community's risks and vulnerabilities associated with those hazards. And then the crux of the mitigation plan is the mitigation itself is really looking at what are the ways to lessen the risks or vulnerabilities and to try to reduce the impact from those hazards? Understanding we can't completely eliminate them, but how can we make them less impactful? And really looking at those long-term policies and actions. So the city went about updating the hazard mitigation plan. You are required by FEMA in order to maintain eligibility for funding to update the plan every 5 years. Again, it's really going back through the process from the plan that was prepared 5 years ago to look and confirm, update, are those threats and hazards still the same? Do they need to be changed? Updating, has any of those actually occurred? What are the community's vulnerability risks? How have those changed? And really looking at making the community more disaster resilient. And again, particularly important point of the hazard mitigation plan and having a FEMA approved and adopted plan is to have access to funds, federal funds. So, as I mentioned, we were here in November of 2024 presenting the hazard mitigation plan to all of you and received a recommendation for City Council to authorize submittal to Cal OES for the initial review. We went to City Council on November 13th, and we did receive that authorization to submit the hazard mitigation plan to Cal OES. That got submitted in November. Cal OES went through their process November to February. We receive basically a checklist and identifying whether or not all the conditions are met. And we did receive that all the requirements were met. One requirement was identified as met, could use some improvement. So this resulted in some minor revisions to describe vulnerabilities a little more clearly to specific hazards, and also to clarify that the plan does address climate change. So it was really minor text revisions. It had to go back to Cal OES to confirm that those revisions met the intent of what they wanted to see. And so we did receive that approval, and it went from Cal OES to FEMA. And so FEMA reviews it from, you can see here on the screen, March to April 2025. And what we received from them was that they did not require any further revisions. They felt the plan met all the requirements. And so we received what's called approvable pending adoption, an APA. So to talk also about the general plan safety element amendment, so AB 2140 is a state provision that allows additional opportunity to receive some cost share on eligible projects. And the key to this is basically you have to have an adopted FEMA-approved hazard mitigation plan, which we're about there. We're in the process of doing that. And you also have to have specific language in your general plan safety element that incorporates by reference that FEMA approved hazard mitigation plan. So really it's just text changes in the safety element specific to adopting the hazard mitigation plan. There's already text in the safety element as it currently stands reflecting a hazard mitigation plan. So this is just really incorporating that, and you also have to provide the link specifically to where the hazard mitigation plan can be accessed, and it has to be made available to the public. So that's part of the process of making sure that that the city has the opportunity to have this cost share eligibility. It's kind of a simple task of really just having the text in there. So our next steps, we're here, of course, before you this evening, and I believe that Cheryl or Wendy will talk about the recommendation, but really looking for a recommendation to take the hazard mitigation plan to the City Council for adoption on July 9th. And then what happens after that is if the City Council does adopt the hazard mitigation plan, we submit a copy of that resolution to FEMA and to Cal OES. Also submit a link to the safety element demonstrating that we did comply with that provision, and then FEMA will issue a final approval of the plan. And then Cal OES will receive approval for the AB 2140, just showing that we met the requirements for that, and then that makes your plan adopted and in effect for the next 5 years.
That is that. So just to wrap up on what Starla was saying, so the recommended action tonight is a resolution of the Planning Commission recommending to the City Council the adoption of the local hazard mitigation plan and the adoption of the safety element update. So when we were here in November, we only talked about the local hazard mitigation plan. The safety element update, as Starla mentioned, is really just a few word changes on pages 3 and 4 of the document. I think we pointed those out in the staff report. And that, as the Planning Commission, it's your role to review potential changes to the general plan and recommend those up to the City Council. That's why you see that your resolution has two resolutions of the City Council attached to it to effectuate those two proposed actions. So if you have any questions, we're happy to answer those. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Are there any questions of staff?
I don't have any questions.
I don't see any questions of staff. I will go ahead now and open the public hearing. Do we have any public comments? Hearing no public comments, I will go ahead and close the public hearing and allow now time for commission discussion and deliberation. If there is none, I will entertain a motion.
I'll give a motion.
We have a motion.
I will second.
And a second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? None. The item carries. Thank you. We will move now to item six, new business, fiscal year 25-26 capital improvement program conformance with the general plan. Mr. Nguyen.
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Chair, members of the Commission. Tonight's presentation is on the city's capital improvement program. Specifically, we will be discussing fiscal year 25-26 projects, which is considered year one of the seven-year proposed CIP. The purpose for tonight's presentation is so that the Commission can hear the proposed projects for year one and make a determination if those projects generally conform to the city's adopted general plan. There are numerous criteria that staff uses in order to program projects onto the capital improvement program. Some of those include legal or statutory requirements, health and welfare concerns, preventive maintenance, funding obligations, policy directives, traffic improvements, deferred maintenance, aesthetic improvements, as well as constituent input. The map shown before you here is a geographical representation of the projects throughout the city, and as you can see from it, we have projects programmed throughout. The capital improvement program is broken up into six specific categories. Those include street improvements, special projects, landscape and beautification projects, building projects, which include the City Hall and Bell Tower Regional Community Center, the traffic improvement projects, as well as bridge projects. So we have 20 projects programmed across six categories for a total of slightly over $13 million CIP budget for next year. There are two types of funding sources that the city uses in order to fund our capital improvements. Those include restricted funding sources as well as unrestricted funding sources. Unrestricted funding sources can be used for any and all purposes, and that includes the general fund. And restricted funding sources can only be used for specific purposes, and that includes some of the more common types are Measure M, gas tax, RMRA, and CDBG. So the first category of our capital improvement program is street improvements. We have five projects programmed within this category. We further break this category into two subcategories. The first is pavement rehabilitation projects. We have three projects programmed for this category or subcategory. That includes the annual slurry seal, the Santa Margarita Parkway bridge hinge, I'm sorry, not hinge, pavement rehabilitation project from Melinda Road to Santa Margarita Parkway Bridge, as well as Los Alisos Boulevard pavement rehabilitation from the city limits to Altissima. So the purpose of these projects is to extend the useful life of the pavement. For this next year, we're going to be heavily focused on arterial highways, and the estimated cost for these three projects is $3.045 million using a combination of gas tax, RMRA, and Measure M funds. The second subcategory within this street improvement section is concrete-related projects. We have two projects listed within this subcategory. The first is the annual concrete repair project. This replaces and repairs damaged sidewalks throughout the city. The second is the ADA curb ramp installation project. We typically do this type of project where we're doing pavement overlays. We will install new or modify existing curb ramps in order to meet the latest ADA standards. So these two projects have a combined estimated cost of $217,000, and they use a combination of gas tax and CDBG funds. The second category within our capital improvement program is special projects. We have one project listed within this category. It is the Veterans Monument at Central Park. The concept shown here was the same concept that the City Council has previously reviewed. They're very much in favor of this project, and it's really in remembrance and honor of our veterans. It'll be located here near the flagpoles at City Hall. And in terms of scheduling, we would be looking at entering design in summer, fall of 2025. We would need to get an easement from Samlark in order to place it within their property, but they are very much in support of the project also. And then in spring of 2026, we would look at entering construction for this project. Estimated cost for the project is $100,000 using general funds. The next category within our capital improvement program is landscape and beautification projects. We have five projects programmed within this category. The first is one that the commission has seen on multiple years before. It is the traffic signal enhancements projects. This project will replace safety lighting at intersections with energy efficient LED lighting. It'll install scrolls, bases, and paint the traffic signal poles a chocolate brown color. So it really just beautifies the city. Estimated cost for this project is $305,000 using a combination of general fund and Measure M funds. The map shown here, the yellow dots represent all the intersections that either have been completed or will be completed by June 30th of this year. We are currently working on seven intersections. There are five intersections programmed for next year, which are in green circle, and those are on Plano Tribuco Road. Subsequently, we will have two additional years of projects. The purple dot represents fiscal year 26-27. The orange dot represents fiscal year 27-28, at which time we will enter a maintenance cycle. The city does operate over 50 traffic signals within the city. The next two projects within the landscape section is the Antonio Parkway Gateway Improvements Project. For the entry monument as well as the median, this project is under construction at the time. We hope to have construction done within approximately 3 months. It beautifies the city's southern entrance into the city on Antonio Parkway. We are going to be proposing to carry over slightly over $1 million in Measure M, RMRA, and gas tax funds for the median. And then for the monument, we are proposing to carry over approximately $150,000 in general funds. So this next project is one that really ties in with the one we just talked about. It was initially programmed to be done at the same time, but due to funding constraints, the City Council decided to delay this project by 1 year. And this is the Antonio Parkway Gateway Improvements Parkway. The estimated cost as it's currently designed is $1.625 million using general fund reserves. However, at the City Council budget workshop, one of the things they wanted us to do was come back at a later time to present some alternative options that could potentially reduce the cost to this project. So we do plan on doing that within the next month or so. And the last project within this category is the Civic Center Non-Functional Turf Replacement and Monument Landscaping. That's here at City Hall. Per state law, we are required to replace all non-functional turf around the city by early 2027. We will be replacing the turf with native and drought-resistant landscaping, including refreshing the landscaping around the monument signs within the parking lot at City Hall, as well as Bell Tower Regional Community Center. The estimated cost for next year is only $12,000, as we are only expecting to do the design phase. The subsequent year, it would be $98,000 for the construction, with $32,000 of that expected to be a rebate from the Water District. The next category within our capital improvement program is City Hall and Bell Tower Regional Community Center projects. We have two projects programmed within this category. The first is the City Hall panel project. This is a continuation or a carryover project. It's right here within the council chambers. Essentially, right now, at the front of the dais, there is bullet-resistant fiberglass paneling, but there is none at the end section over here. So this really is a security improvement for this room. It's expected to use $40,000 in CIRA funding, which is the California Intergovernmental Risk Authority. The city's insurer, and it really just improves security here at City Hall. And the second project within the building projects category is the City Hall Bell Tower Regional Community Center roof improvements, as well as solar panel installation. The roof improvements, it's currently out to bid right now. We hope to begin construction in this within approximately 1 month. It'll take 3 months to complete, at which time we'll also be designing for the solar panel installation. As we all know, energy costs have increased annually, and it really just helps to offset some of the energy costs of these two buildings that the city operates. The estimated cost for this roof portion is $840,000. Using general fund. Estimated cost for the solar installation portion is $1 million, also using general funds. We do expect a 30% direct pay rebate from the federal government in order to offset some of these solar installation costs. All right, the next category within our capital improvement program is traffic improvement projects. We have 4 projects programmed within this category. The first is just our standard traffic signal system maintenance. As I mentioned earlier, we maintain over 50 intersections, traffic signalized intersections, and this just helps to support those intersections. The second project is the intersection improvements at Las Flores and Antonio Parkway. The City Council has received numerous complaints that certain drivers are doing donuts at these intersections, so we hope to install some type of traffic calming measures such as bot dots. The next two projects within traffic improvements is our traffic signal synchronization projects. The Santa Margarita Parkway traffic signal synchronization project from Lake Forest to the city's limits or to the Plano Chabuco Road. That is going to be starting construction in approximately a month. It'll take 6 months to complete, at which time we will enter a 2 years operation and maintenance phase. This project has been ongoing now for approximately 3 years. The second project is the Antonio Parkway signal synchronization project. We are just in the process of awarding a design contract on this. We expect this project will also take approximately 5 years to complete, 3 years for design, and then an additional 2 years for operations and maintenance. The funding sources for these projects are AQMD, Measure M, Project P, and general funds. And the last category within our capital improvement program is bridge projects. Happy to say that the westbound SMP bridge, that project has been ongoing now for a little bit over 10 years. That has been approved by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. We've been doing habitat restoration on the site for the past 3 years. And we do have to go out there one additional time in April of 2026, at which time that project is 100% complete. The other two projects we have are the eastbound Santa Margarita Parkway Bridge and the Antonio Parkway Bridge. All three of these bridges, by the way, the city owns and operates. So we are in the design phase for that, for the other two bridges. We hope to have that done mid-year of this subsequent year, this following year, at which time we will be going out to construction. It performs general preventive maintenance on our bridges, critical infrastructure. And the good part is the federal government pays a substantial portion of the costs. So of the estimated $3.79 million in costs for all three of these bridges, the federal government reimbursed the city 88.53%. So $3.35 million is expected to be federal reimbursement using highway bridge program funds. And then the other $440,000 would use the city's gas tax funds. So the staff report provides a much better explanation, but I wanted to provide a summary of the projects that we just talked about, as well as the general plan goals and policies that they meet. And with that, the recommendation before the commission tonight is to review the fiscal year 25-26 proposed projects, to find and declare that the actions that you're about to take tonight are exempt from CEQA, as they do not authorize the project to move forward into construction, and then to adopt a resolution finding that the proposed fiscal year 25-26 projects generally conform to the city's adopted general plan. And with that, that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. Do we have any questions of staff? Go down the line. Commissioner Bastian.
Oh, sure, I have one question. Can we go back to the Veterans Memorial, please? Just my casual curiosity. So all for this project, but within this memorial and this this area. Is there anything else that's going to be put into that basically the dirt area where the trees are along with that? Or is what we're looking at going to be the whole concept?
There's going to be some proposed benches that will be in that general vicinity. I'm not 100% sure. The final design hasn't been completed yet, but there will be some benches. And more than likely, there's a potential that those trees that are adjacent to the Veterans Monument may be removed as part of this project in order to open up the space.
Oh, okay, so this is just a rough sketch. It's not an exact proposal of what would go on there. I was just thinking that it looked a little empty just with the dirt there, so just wanted to ask, so thank you.
Yes.
Great idea, though. I love that we're doing that.
Other questions?
I just have a quick question, really, and this is actually a really, really small portion of the overall plan, and it's related to the number 15, so the Civic Center, the non-functional turf replacement. So I know, and so being past member of Samlark, so a lot of the you can know a lot of the projects that they've been doing along the Alicia Parkway, Santa Margarita Parkway, all the turf replacement that they've been doing there, and that's all based on the same exact concept, having to go to water-wise plants. I know, so one of the things that was an advantage, and I'm not sure if we've checked into this as far as the ability to get grants or rebates back for that, but that actually we were able to do those as zero-cost items. And I don't know, I'd have to look and I'd have to remember who we applied for those with. But actually, all of those projects turned out to be zero cost because they got grants back from the state. Just something to look into, I would suggest.
Thank you very much. Yes, we'll definitely look into that. And we have contacts at Samlark, so we'll make sure to reach out to them to see what available sources there are for potential grants.
Very good. Thank you. Like I said, that was all I had.
I guess I have just one question. How do those bot dots work? Like, what are they? How do they keep people from?
It's really, I would say it's more of an impedance where people don't want to drive their cars fast over it in fear that they may lose control. Because they're fairly larger dots. They're not your usual pavement markers where they're very small, but they're much larger. So if someone were to hit that while doing donuts, there is a potential that they could either damage their car or potentially lose control.
Wreck their car. Yeah.
It's just similar to a speed bump, I guess.
They looked really pretty big compared to other little dots I've seen. So I was just curious how those even would prevent.
And just to let you know, we're going to be in the design phase, so we're also going to potentially explore other options, but that is the leading option at this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I've got a couple questions. One, back to the Veterans Monument. Has there been any, would Samlark participate in the cost for that at all, or is it just going to be all from general fund reserves?
At this time, it's only expected from general fund reserves. Samlark is willing to help us with giving us an easement, but in terms of cost, they're not expected for cost sharing at this time.
Okay. And I've got another question about some of the capital improvements that some of our neighbors have voiced, that this is kind of an and-or situation. We are spending money on monuments or entrance monuments, and they feel that perhaps that money is not spent correctly. Can you kind of speak to that in terms of what that means for the budget and how we do budget for that and for that 7-year period?
You want to?
So, Commissioner Bastian, I'd be happy to answer that. That was the topic of some lengthy discussion at some city council meetings, including the budget workshop. As Tree mentioned in the very beginning of his presentation, the CIP is made up of what are called restricted and non-restricted funds. So restricted funds are gas tax, RMRA, CDBG. Those are the examples he gave. and those can be used on very specific things. So, for example, we are using some of those restricted funds for the median improvements that are going on right now on Antonio Parkway because they are eligible uses of those funds. The monument sign is not an eligible use of those funds, so that is from general fund reserve. So the entire project doesn't qualify for those funds. If you, I don't know what you mean by an either or, but I'm happy to expand if you want to clarify that.
I guess my question is, in your experience, why should we have a monument, and how does that? Why should we have a monument? Or monuments are things that make our city as wonderful as it is.
I, as staff, don't have an opinion on that matter, but having been to all the city council meetings and heard their discussions, they are, and I won't speak for them, but what I've heard from them is that the beautification projects are important to this council, so you'll hear about the signs, the medians, the painting of the medians, the signal pole enhancements. Those are beautification projects that they prioritize and use general fund reserves for.
Right, and it's all, according to what I've read, is part of our general plan to keep that up to date.
Yes, good point. That is here in your staff report that there are general plan goals and policies for the upkeep of the community to make it a desirable place to live and work.
And attract businesses.
Yes.
Perfect, thank you.
I'll jump in. I'm interested in the solar panels here at City Hall. It looked like it was $1 million project. We're getting a 30% rebate, which is awesome. What do we anticipate in terms of cost savings on the electric bill? I mean, so how many years till it pays for itself?
The projected payback was, I believe, 5 to 7 years. However, as we all know, energy costs are increasing. So with my own solar panels, my payback period went from 5 years to 3 years with how much energy costs increased. So, but at the current rates, it's expected to be 5 to 7 years.
That's wonderful.
Chair Camulia, I just want to jump in because Tree is too modest to say. He worked really hard last year to get us in under the deadline for the old net metering rates, mm-hmm. so that we can take advantage of even better rates than we would had we not had that not happened. So
wonderful.
That'll help the payback period.
I love to hear it. And I think just going forward, any discussion about capital improvements that help offset other kind of operational costs, it should just be mentioned for context. There was just one other question for me that caught my ear with regard to the monument and median project. You mentioned there would be carryover funds. Could you just expand on that?
Yes, so the City Council approved as part of the fiscal year 24-25 project a certain amount of budget for this project. And because we did not finish construction within the current fiscal year, we're just taking a portion of that budget and applying it towards next year.
Next fiscal year.
Correct.
The project itself has not been delayed, though. It's still scheduled to be completed within 3 months.
Correct. The project itself, it's actually on schedule. It was just based upon the start and whether it just ended up straddling two different fiscal years.
Okay, that's what my assumption was. Thank you. Any other questions? Any discussion? Go ahead and entertain a motion when you're ready. And that would be for making the CEQA finding as well as adopting the resolution.
I move to adopt the.
I hear second. A motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That item carries. Thank you guys so much. We will now move to item 7 of the agenda, other reports. Seeing none, we will move to matters presented by planning commissioners. Are there any matters presented by commissioners? Seeing none, we will now move to adjourn. Let me check what time. It is 7:04. We will adjourn this meeting. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the Planning Commission will be held Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025 at 6:30 p.m. right here at the Council Chambers. Thank you.